Welcome to the voice of St. Anthony Parish from Allston, Massachusetts, right here on WROL, 950 AM, 100.3 FM. You can also hear us at CatholicAudioMedia.com, CatholicAudioMedia.com. And don't forget to tell everyone where you can find us over at Catholic Audio Media or WROL, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, we're continuing our series on this first week of Advent with Mark Hart, also known as the Bible Geek. He is the CIO of LifeTeen out of Phoenix, and he's telling us all about, especially in this segment, all about his book, One Sunday at a Time, which is a preparation each Sunday for the entire year. It's got various sections on it and everything else where you can read through it and you can have a deeper understanding of the reading prior to going to Mass. And he suggests just 10 minutes a week you can do that. Now, you know, I always say you also need other time for prayer, so that can be part of your 10 minutes a week, maybe one of those days. But anyway, that's what we're talking about. It comes to us from Ave Maria Press. And it's focused on the readings of Year A, which are the readings we are going through right now. So we're now about to hear part three of our interview with Mark Hart. We've talked about people knowing the Bible better and working on it and how we can know our faith as we come to church. Well, let us switch now over to our talk about Mark's book here on the Voice of St. Anthony Parish in Allston.
I want to make sure I get this before we go any further, because one of the main focuses of our talk here is your new book that helps people to do exactly that, One Sunday at a Time. Could you tell me?
That's the hope.
One of the things I always say is I always like to read the books before I do an interview, but lately you've been doing things in preparation for Advent and in the liturgical year. So it's hard to read your style of book because it's not designed for that. It's designed to be read Sunday by Sunday. But it's got a great little system built into it because you have ways of reflection with it. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what led you to put the book together and what you want to tell us about the book?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's called One Sunday at a Time, and it just came out, you know, for Catholics. We don't have New Year's on January 1st. We start a new year on the first Sunday of Advent. So We just celebrate our new liturgical year. And the idea is there's one entry for every Sunday for the next year. So in three or four pages, 10 minutes a week, what I do is I'll give you an opening prayer and then just a couple paragraphs that explain, here's the thematic strand. Here's the strand that ties together the first reading and the gospel. Because normally if you listen closely, you'll see in the Catholic Church in her wisdom, she usually puts the first reading and the gospel together because they have similarities or they play off of one another.
Right.
And then the church puts in a second reading, often by St. Paul, not always, but often, that also brings it to life maybe in a deeper way, in a practical way. Like, this is how you live this out. This is what this looks like. So just a couple paragraphs to pull those strands together. Then I'll usually give a little bit of behind the scenes. Is there a location reference maybe that you've never heard of a city, but maybe is important to the story? Or is there maybe some sort of is there some behind the scenes piece when it comes to, you know, the culture of the Mediterranean culture at the time that maybe if you knew this one little detail, the story would come to life, the reading would come to life in a new way. Then I'll throw in things like wordplay. You know, what does this word over here mean? What's the etymology? Why is this important? When Jesus says this 2,000 years ago, what did it mean? Because we usually listen to things in a modern context, which is called eisegesis, which is the incorrect way of reading Scripture. We often read into Scripture with our own modern misconceptions and biases, rather than exegesis, which is the proper way, reading out of Scripture what the author at the time intended through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, given what was going on culturally at the time, what was going on in their area of the world. So giving a little bit of backstory, behind the scenes, and wordplay. And then I usually put in, on every Sunday, putting in three or four questions. These are questions, if you're reading the Scriptures on your own, you can journal about, you can take to prayer, possibly to adoration. These are questions that if you wanted to go through the readings with your spouse or your family, with a women's group, with a men's group, with couples groups, I mean, it's being used in a variety of different ways. Those questions are designed to elicit conversation or thoughtfulness or meditation or prayer. And then there's also a challenge for the week. Now, what's one small practical way that in the next 6 days I can live out what God is trying to tell me through His timeless word this week? So the idea behind the book was if I could put something together, put it into someone's hands, that they can look at it, and even if someone has no scriptural background, can dive deeper into the Sunday readings. So the first half of Mass, now they know what's going on. Now they can navigate it, and now it can come to life in their life.
That's a great system to come up with. I don't know if system is the right word, but just exactly that, because you're right. We do these readings every week, and I have an understanding, and I try to communicate that to others, but there is so much there. And what does it mean when he says that? And what does it mean when, and putting all that together where people can understand, oh, okay. And then translating that to today. So it is a very powerful thing, and it sure helps me when people have a deeper understanding of the scriptures when they're sitting in the pews too.
Well, certainly, because you know, if people have heard them before and they know what's going on, you're going to have that nodding. They're going to have them leaning forward rather than leaning backwards, right? Like they're going to track with what you're saying, Father, because now I knew what to listen for, and now I didn't get distracted because of, oh, this one word or this one thing. You know, I mean, honestly, like, I mean, I was a kid and they say, oh, they came from the land of the Amalekites and the Edomites. I'm thinking, yeah, and the mosquito bites and the gigabytes. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know what it meant. And I mean, all it would take is one word, one phrase that would send my thought of digression just right down the rabbit hole, you know? But if you know what to listen for, not only are you going to get less distracted, but if you know what to listen for, you're going to be more engaged and you're going to be more purposeful. And that's going to carry through the homily and well into the consecration in the second half of Mass.
Well, and then carry it all the way during the week, which is one thing that I'm always trying to bring up, you know, the importance of living our faith throughout the week. When I'm preaching, I really focus more on the fact that what we're doing here is we're encountering Christ so we can be missionaries to Christ out in the world. And that's really almost the focus of every homily I give.
That's absolutely correct. I mean, really, we have to remember the word Mass, okay, Misa, is the same derivative and root word for missile, as though to be shot forth, right? So when we're going forth from the Mass, we're being shot forth, propelled by the Holy Spirit into a world desperately in need of God's grace and love and mercy. So we are missionaries. Missio, Mass, mission, missile, they're all the same word. We have a mission. And if I wake up this morning with air in my lungs, that means God's not done with me yet. You know, that I have a mission to love the people in the 5-square-foot radius around me at every given moment, whether they're friend, enemy, foe, or in traffic, or in line ahead of me. I have the challenge to love them, the call to love them, and that now, filled by God's grace, body, blood, soul, and divinity, with his own grace running through, grace is God's life in us, God's grace, that life flowing through me, quite literally through my bloodstream now after communion, I am now being shot forth on a mission into the world as a walking tabernacle, as a co-missionary to help and aid in the salvation of all. It says in 1 Peter 1:9, the goal of our faith is salvation, mine and everyone's. So the goal of my faith is not just for me to be saved, but for everyone to be saved.
Now, when you have discussed the Bible with others and you've discussed scripture and everything, have you ever been challenged where someone will say, I don't like your interpretation of scripture, I don't like what the church says about scripture?
Oh, sure, absolutely. And that's gonna happen time to time. What I normally like to do though is to ask, where do you think the scripture came from? Because oftentimes there's this misunderstanding historically of how the Bible came to be, and it's almost as though we think that the Bible dropped out of heaven in a Ziploc bag, when the reality is that the canon of scripture, the books of scripture, whether you have the 73 books from the Catholic Church or the redacted edited form of 66 that came with the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century, regardless of which one you have, the original canon, the word canon means measuring rod, that took over 300 years to develop. That was the Catholic Church in the first 3 centuries praying and discerning and debating, because there were multiple gospels written. There weren't just 4. There were countless letters written. And it was the church in her wisdom being led by the Holy Spirit and councils like Rome and Hippo and Carthage at the end of the 4th century, when the church came together and said, no, we believe through the discernment of the Holy Spirit that these are the ones that measure up, the canon. These are the books in scripture. And that canon stood uncontested for over 1,200 years. But basically, if we say we believe in Scripture, then we have to believe that the Scripture is inerrant, and we have to believe that the books that were included in Scripture are the ones that were meant to be included in there. And honestly, it was the Catholic Church that discerned that. There's a debt of gratitude we owe to the early church fathers. But even before they did that, I mean, for the first 30, 35 years after the resurrection, the writings were not compiled in one place. I mean, these were letters. I mean, the first gospel wasn't even being written yet. This was all transmitted orally, and the oral tradition is what handed on the faith long before the written tradition of Scripture.
We're going to hear the last of our interview with Mark Hart tomorrow. Have a blessed day. You can now leave a message for us, which we can air and discuss on this program. Just call 617-297-7452.
That's 617-297-7452.
617-297-7452. Feel free to call, leave a comment, a question, or even feedback, and we may play it on the air. I can discuss your comment or question as well, so give that a try.
617-297-7452, 617-297-7452.
I want to call your attention to Catholic TV, which offers great faith-filled, family-friendly programming 24 hours a day. You can find your cable channel at www.getcatholictv.com, and you can watch online, on the free apps, or check out the YouTube channel. Daily Mass, Rosaries, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and the Our Lady of Perpetual Help Novena are all available online and on demand. Check out CatholicTV.com. If you would like to support our program, please consider a donation to St. Anthony Parish in Allston, Massachusetts. There are several ways to consider this. One is to purchase any of our merchandise, which you can find at the shopping tab at CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com. There are coffee mugs there. There's also my latest book, Encounter Christ in Your Humanity, all of which you can find at the shopping tab at CatholicAudioMedia.com. You can also donate to the show directly through either the Donate tab, also at CatholicAudioMedia.com, or by sending a donation through the U.S. Postal Service with your questions and comments at 43 Holton Street, Allston, Massachusetts, 02134. That's St. Anthony Parish, 43 Holton Street, Allston, Massachusetts, 02134. Finally, the best way you can support our parish is to attend Mass on Sundays at 10 o'clock and be a part of our parish. We thank you for any support you would like to give to St. Anthony Parish in Allston, Massachusetts, the sponsoring parish for this media outreach to Catholics and other Christians in the WROL, WEZE, and podcast listening audience. In Cristo vivimos.